Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a four-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227 and sponsored by GEICO. GEICO has introduced the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Do you think there's going to be a college football or an NFL football season? 855-212-4227. We've been discussing the realities of COVID-19 as it relates to sports. We've been discussing, on top of that, obviously the differences between the pros and college. We've been discussing Major League Baseball and the back and forth there. And then, you know, the situation in the NBA, which is a little bit different when it comes to a fight against, you know, social injustice and the varying perspectives that players in a league like that may have. Let's go to Chris in Alabama. Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, Robin Lundberg?
How are you, man?
I guess I'll get my opinion on this. I think Kyrie Irving's decision. I mean, let's address the bottom line. Sports isn't a forever thing. I mean, it's been proven since March of COVID-19 issue hit. Once these athletes leave their respective lockers, they got to deal with everyday American life, just like me and you. I think we can't necessarily have youth sports as a safe space anymore. That sports will actually end up sweeping underlying issues under the rug. For example, the Kaepernick protests themselves, they were all going strong for about a week or so, and eventually it died down and had people like Kenny Steele, like, what happened to the movement? One of the original protesters who still follow it now. I think, like, here's a prime example of the underlying issue. I was listening to an interview with Andre Iguodala, and he mentioned Kyle Korver and when he was playing on the team with Kyle Korver, and how they discussed in the locker room and how they had discussing their lives, in which Andre Iguodala said, and some of his teammates said they still pay for their parents' bills. And Kyle Korver, like, let's say, literally stop looking like you still pay your parents' bills. I mean, that's just part of the understanding. And honestly, I think if you talk to Ernest Johnson, when he said it best. I mean, we love our military, we love our flag. We all are patriotic, but we can't just sit back and let the flag itself blind us.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm not sure exactly, and appreciate the call. I'm not sure exactly what that means as far as, you know, the season's return or whatnot. I mean, I would say economic reasons. One, when you reference that, you have the idea of guys are going to need money. And then two, you know, the fact that that is the case shows you that there are larger problems structurally, you know, in the United States, and which is one of the reasons people are fighting. People are saying, like, we've been telling you this is, you know, not fair the way things are distributed, and no one's listening. Now you're listening. So this is the moment. But, you know, as far as the protests go, I don't disagree with that either. But I really don't think the protests are a topic of conversation right now, to be honest. One guy keeps trying to make them a topic of conversation, but I don't think people are taking that bait anymore. People are going to protest, they'll protest. But, you know, I think the protest is obviously a symbol. The kneeling is a symbol for everything we see now. But what we're seeing now is action. Let's go to Doc in Dallas. Doc, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Doc?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. As far as the NBA returning, and I think and Kyrie wanting to sit out to make a statement, I think the problem is the same problem with Kyrie's position is the same problem we have with a lot of these protests, and I think you touched on it a little bit with a caller before. What do you want? Okay, yes, I'm an African-American man. Yes, we it's obvious we have been mistreated. Yes, Kyrie says we can bring more attention. We don't need any more attention. We've got attention up the wazoo. What action items do you want Adam Silver or the NBA to deliver on? What do you want the NBA owners to do? Do you want to make a platform to say, I want the owners to, in every city where there's an NBA team, to work with the police department and ban the chokehold that actually killed George Floyd, for instance? Do you want them to make a stand and make a contribution to a political candidate that is running on a platform of police reform? I need you to be more strategic. We have plenty of attention, but what is the action plan? It's almost like if you're in a meeting at work and the guy always, someone always comes up and wants to identify the problem, but never wants to bring forth a solution. We need solutions, and we need reasonable solutions. Last time I checked, Adam Silver does not run a police department, he's not a congressman, and he's not a senator. So there's only so much Adam Silver can do. So partner with Adam to work with the owners to have a actionable agenda that can bring about some realistic change that the NBA can actually execute. But just to do it, just for the sake of attention, we've got attention. Believe me, this is more, it's on TV every single freaking day right now. We got plenty of attention. We need a plan, and we need action items, and we need a strategy. That's my only issue or desire. I love his passion and wanting to make a stand, but let's get a plan together.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, especially if you're saying the NBA is this big, bad corporate monster with all this power. Let's show them the power that we have. Well, you could also leverage that power and put
exactly.
put the pressure on them a little bit. And yeah, thank you for the call, Doc.
Okay.
The players can get the owners involved, too. I mean, I think the owners could step up more and put themselves out front and center. But yes, certainly the idea of using the league and its resources has to provide the NBA with some sort of appeal there, and the players there with more of a actionable items, as Doc just referenced. You can talk with them and figure out what you want to do versus basically throwing all the papers off the desk. And while I get that sentiment, I would want to know what's next after that, because it would be a hell of a statement. We're not playing. That's a hell of a statement. But, and then what, is what I would say. How about Bobby in South Carolina? Bobby, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Bobby?
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Doc actually stole all my thunder there. But the only thing I would add to that is the voices get quieter when they disappear. Not playing a whole season, they don't get to speak in post-game interviews. And, you know, their platform sort of diminishes. just my opinion, but.
No, I understand. Look, you know, they, that's the truth, or it could be. Let's not say it's the truth, because guys have a way to get their opinion out there, and thanks for the call. But the platform that the NBA provides is undoubtedly a large one. And out of sight, out of mind is another thing. Like, LeBron James can tweet, LeBron James can Instagram, but LeBron James can be televised into everyone's living room for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Not to mention, you know, they're going to be in this complex there at Disney with the, you know, media, with the resources of ESPN and Disney. Why can't a bunch of players start their own programming that's broadcast on ESPN or NBA TV? You know, there's other things around that. Then there's obviously getting the league to put some money down, getting the league to approve, not approve, but go along with certain league-wide demonstrations and statements. And then I would think pressuring the owners is probably the best form of leverage that can be used, saying, hey, we're going to play, but we need you guys to play ball as well and help us out, and not just put out a statement and that's it. How about Steve in Atlanta? Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Steve?
Morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. So I think this is going to be probably one of the most disappointing sports years as far as with everything coming back. I was listening to an interview with Dr. Fauci yesterday, and I just don't see how these contact sports are going to play out a full season. If you look at what's currently going on with, you know, coronavirus rates spiking in several states, you know, having especially Florida, where the NBA is playing a whole their season. What if, you know, a few guys get coronavirus, and then it's almost impossible to stop the spread of that thing. I mean, guys are sweating, they're bumping into each other, there's so much contact. I just don't see it. Same thing with football. You know, like, there's guys who test positive at some of these college campuses who are asymptomatic. And, you know, who knows how this thing is going to spread? And there's no vaccine. I mean, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. With everything going on in our country, you know, we still have this coronavirus, but no cure, no treatment plan. And to kind of pick back up these sports again, I'm a big, you know, sports fan, obviously. You know, I'm listening to sports radio 8 o'clock in the morning. But I just realistically, I think here's what I think is going to happen. The leagues are going to get started. You're going to get a few people who are going to test positive, and then they're going to have to shut the whole thing down just because the risk is just going to be too high. It's just going to be very disappointing for everybody. I hope I'm wrong, but that's kind of what I see happen.
No, I understand. It's not a wild position. Steve, thanks for the call. Look, a couple of positive tests are not going to shut any league down anymore. That's not going to happen. The question is, where's the threshold? Right? Like, what's the threshold? When is too many positive tests? You know, how much does it affect play? What are you doing with people who have positive tests? And then, is a sport like football even viable the way it is played? Those are legit questions. Like, again, basketball is different because basketball has their situation isolated. You know, the NBA has already said they're not going to shut down the league for a couple positive tests. There's going to be tests, positive tests. That's just a matter of fact at this point. So it's what you do, what you handle, how you handle them, what the threshold is. And the NBA is hoping that they can win here by having their own environment, their own ecosystem, if you will. But that's not the case for the other sports, at least as of yet. And football in particular, there are more players, there's more contact than any other sport. They're in close proximity all the time. That is worrisome. It has to be worrisome. And for me, that's particularly at the college level. I mean, I have concern for pros as well. I have concerns for everybody, every person out there. But when you're dealing with pros versus college, you're also dealing with people who are signing up and doing it for their job and being compensated versus the kids who are not. How about Leslie in Alabama? Leslie, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I have a possible solution to this impasse and the negotiations to get baseball and the NFL going. at least medically speaking. So give me just a couple seconds. Let me make my point. So before I get to the main point, let me make an analogy. When AIDS was on the rampage back in the 80s and before the possibility of having a vaccine, they implored the gay community for specific mitigation efforts for prevention. Now, I'm not going to go into this because I know that this is a family show. But in time, drugs came out. And that being enough, these people can manage their sickness and live. But they didn't give up on mitigation. So fast forward to 2020 right now with COVID-19. We all know about the mitigation practices that they're instructing us to do. But apparently some of the players are still concerned about this Chinese virus called COVID-19. So why not then now have the players that are testing negative go ahead and get inoculated with the hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic. Now, I know that there
are... Are you a doctor?
No. I'm just really listening both on
but,
the...
But you know that first of all, that medicine you reference or whatever has not been approved, and it's been said to cause more harm than good in many cases. So
that's by the FDA. But the medical community is starting to press to get that turned and reverted because they have done internal studies, like especially with the adult communities and the assisted living, to know that when they are testing positive asymptomatic, those that have had it and those have not had it, the results are amazing.
But hold on, Leslie, I got to cut you off, and I don't mean to be rude, but you're advocating for people to use themselves as sacrificial lambs for a non-approved drug, even when they don't have symptoms. I mean, don't you see that's bonkers? There was also a couple other words you used in there that my spider sense is tingling about, let me just say. But, I mean, nobody has all the answers. I'm not going to talk about stuff with a level of expertise that I do not have. Okay, so I will not do that. I will not say that I know what the answer is or how this should be appropriately done. And I'm not being alarmist. I'm not saying cancel everything. I'm just being real. Do you think there will be a football season? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the Robin Lundberg Show. Call Robin at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
And that is the number Josh in Knoxville, Florida is calling from. Josh, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call. I work at a nursing home around COVID patients. I had just hopped in the car and I heard you say something about and not shutting down the season if someone was to get the virus. And that's what I told you, call screener. And I'm sure you already knew that. But, you know, I'm thinking if LeBron or somebody of high caliber player gets sick and actually passes, God forbid, I think they're going to shut the season down. Personally, I don't think they should be running the sports the way it is right now anyway. It's you're taking more of a loss. Kind of like a gross morality type issue here, in my opinion.
Well, look, I don't want to speculate on somebody possibly dying, right? Is that something that can happen? Sure, but I don't want to put that energy in the air. As far as the virus itself, I mean, I say that because it's a matter of fact, right? Like, I say that because if they're going to return to play, Josh, then this is now a part of our day-to-day lives. Just like if you're going to go out to work or if I'm going to go to the grocery store or what have you, you know, there's a chance that we're going to run into somebody infected with COVID. And until there is a vaccine, until there is a universally effective treatment, that's the way it is.
I totally agree with you. But if I may say this, while we're out in public and everything, we're still standing 6 feet apart. We're not really talking to each other much anymore. And in sports, you know,
you can't really tackle somebody on the field or guard them at 6 foot range.
Now, I agree. That's why the NBA is doing it the way they're doing it, right? And thanks for the call. The NBA is doing it the way they're doing it because they're trying to keep that environment controlled. They're trying to start with a baseline of no positive tests. So when you walk in the door, no one's coming in the door who tests positive. That's the start. Then no one who has come in the door is leaving. So they're trying to keep that world isolated. And that, therefore, if they do get a positive test, they can trace it very quickly. Okay, it's this person who they've been in contact with, and then move. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. Will it work? None of us know if it's going to work. But I think it's a better plan than just, hey, go with it. Or a better plan than, hey, just cancel it. When, you know, again, if you're going to cancel this season, might as well cancel next season now, too. Is there going to be a cure in October? I doubt it, right? Football and baseball have a bigger concern there, I think, until they have a plan like that. Baseball is probably, I think it's a little less a little less pressing simply because of the nature of that sport. Both played outdoors in the summer and in the middle of the summer, and basically distanced just by the nature of it. There's not many close interactions in baseball. Now, there's the locker room and everything like that. So there's still more risk than, you know, than not, but less than football, where you're on top of each other all the time and the rosters are enormous. So football is the most popular. I say this all the time. The NFL is the single most popular thing in this country. I really believe that. I don't know if there's anything more popular in this country than the NFL is. But if that were to be affected, the ramifications are going to go beyond just football. They're going to go to the media industry. There's an economic ripple down effect that will happen. I think we all need to hear from Roger Goodell soon enough. And then especially from, you know, also the college commissioners. Because there's less of a case to be made to risk college kids because they're not being paid. But yeah, for the first time, we're facing that reality when it comes to football. We haven't really before because football was very fortunate in timing. The Super Bowl would have been canceled, you know, if it had taken place a month later. The Super Bowl would have been canceled. And we're looking at a situation where they were able to run their free agency. Tom Brady signed with the Bucks, and we acted like nothing was going on and just were like, wow, we can't believe Brady's on the Bucks. And then they were able to do the draft virtually, which I was always in support of. I mean, if any event could ever be done virtually, it was the draft. And then they announced the schedule. Hey, here's a schedule. It's on plan. And there's been no real disruption at all in the NFL calendar. But now we're approaching July. We're approaching the time when we have to reckon with how the NFL is going to deal with all this and how football is going to deal with all this. And if the NFL is the most popular thing, college football ain't that far behind. College football is massively popular. But can we really justify a college football season? I mean, I think that's a separate question. And you see more than 20 kids at Clemson testing positive. For the most part, everybody's going to get over it and be okay. I mean, that's what the data shows us. But what about the people they pass it to? What about the one person who isn't? I mean, these are all things to consider. And I'm glad I'm not in charge, to be honest with you. I'm glad I'm not the one making those decisions. I mean, my own personal viewpoint on it is that we have to go forward in some way, shape, or form, or else we're going to be captive to this virus in perpetuity. And I don't think that's good for anybody, both from a mental health, lifestyle, economic standpoint. But when you look at something like football, I mean, I think we're now approaching those big questions. Do you think there will be a football season, college and or pro? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. I'm going to remind you tonight at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, the most unique event in PBR history continues as the top riders in the world team up to take on the Monster Pit on CBS Sports Network. Looking at, you know, the way the situation is right now, growing cases in states like Arizona and Florida, you know, Clemson having 23 football players test positive, knowing how football is played, hearing what Dr. Fauci said about not knowing if there's going to be a football season this year. Do you think there will be football in the fall?
Stay in touch with Robin via Twitter. His handle is at Robin Lundberg.
Hey, I'm Robin Lundberg here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I can't tell you there's ever been a topic that's less fun to talk about than coronavirus. Trust me, not my favorite. An infectious disease. I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. Obviously, we've already seen a tremendous loss of life. We've already been isolated. We've seen tremendous loss of jobs. Just, it's scary because you don't see it. There's just so much about it that sucks. And it canceled sports. And just as sports, it felt like we're becoming, you know, beginning to come back. Here it is again. So I don't use this show to be an alarmist, to say that football should be canceled or anything. I don't know. But I am a realist that there are genuine concerns, especially for me at the college level where kids aren't paid. And then just hearing some experts talk about football. Baseball had to shut their spring training sites down. Basketball's in the best position because they have a plan. And their plan is dealing with the reality that is COVID. What do you think? Will there be a football season? How do you feel if there's not? How important is it for sports to get back? 855-212-4227. Let's go to Jim in Green Bay. Jim, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Robin. Morning. Nice to be on the air. My thought is, obviously, you know, living in Green Bay, we're a football town. You know, we all want to see football. You know, but the God almighty dollar drives it all. So they're going to try awful hard, the league is, no matter what, to have a season. But one of my concerns would be, and as a season ticket holder of the Packers, what kind of quality am I going to see on the field? You know, you didn't have any OTAs this year. Everything's been virtual. You're not going to see or meet any of the players, the new players especially, until training camp opens. There's already talk we're going to cancel two preseason games. So in the season, if it actually does start, what are we going to see on the field? And then are we going to have different types of injuries this year or more injuries because guys haven't been working closely with the staff? And are we also going to have guys out because of the COVID, which I'm sure we will? That's my thought anyway, and I would like to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day, especially the ones that participate in their children's life. Thank you.
Same to you, man. Yeah, those are all good questions. I don't know the answer. Look, I'm not going to complain about the product preemptively. I'll take any product at this point, right? I mean, you're going to – everything's been affected. If you look at the NBA when you say, like, how's the NBA going to return? Who's going to have an advantage? None of us know, right? That's impossible to know. But you have to you have to deal with the cards you're dealt. So if they do go on, and I agree, if anything that's resuming, it's monetary reasons first. They're going to have to figure all that out. The question is, can they resume? And if so, how? And we haven't heard much from football in that regard. And I think it's getting close to time for football to sort of lay that out. Let's go to Jerry in Fort Worth, Texas. Jerry, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good. I have an idea, at least to get football started. But let me back up 1 second. My nephew, who is a Olympic long jumper in Guatemala and trains by himself, does everything else. Of course, all of it was canceled. He's 22 years old and broke his foot the other day and has to have surgery, and they tested him. We found out yesterday that he's asymptomatic COVID. He is one of the most isolated athletes you could have, except for he's 22 years old and he goes and does things. But that being said, the NFL could follow, as well as the Major League Baseball, follow what the NBA has. Start out, you know, they're all self-quarantined at their houses right now, even in the NBA. Then you bring them to spring training now, summer training, I guess, or a training camp for football. And if you go to training camp in football right now, normally you're out in California, you're in Arizona, wherever you are, you're not at your home base. So you're together only as a team except for when you go out. Well, if you test them ahead of time, get them in there, then they could kind of create their own beginning bubble. They have their own planes that fly them to the preseason games. And, I mean, now this is a huge undertaking with this number of people. Now, but once you get the season started, just like when training camp ends, they all go home. Are we going to ask the NFL athletes to stay in this bubble at their training facilities and stadiums for 6 to 8 months? I don't see how you can do that. But you could start the season of both baseball and football, just like the NBA says, and at least start at zero to the best of their ability. And, yeah, then just like my nephew, healthy as a horse, it makes me look like a fat man, and I'm not. Excuse my English, but he, you know, healthy as a horse, he can still get it. They can still get it. How did he get it? I don't know. How are they going to get it? I don't know. But you could start the seasons for those two following the NBA model.
Well, the problem is, and thanks for the call, the problem is it's really difficult to do that in football. Really difficult. I mean, because you mentioned traveling in planes and stuff, that the NBA is not doing that. The NBA is all in one place, and they have a good place picked. I mean, there's a reason they chose where they chose. Accommodations, space, experience, media connections, television, you know, abilities, you name it. The NBA has it there. But we don't know, you know, how the NFL could pull that off. You know, the football stadium is usually in its own space by itself. You can't have people live at the football stadium. It's not like a basketball court where, you know, it's inside of a greater structure. You have massive rosters on football teams. 53-man roster. That's, you know, more than three times an NBA roster. I really don't know how you do it with football. And if you did it at the beginning and then waited, I have a feeling it's only going to be more dangerous as you get into the colder months and flu season. So I don't know. Jerry in Fort Worth, Texas. Jerry, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Jerry. Warren in West Palm Beach. Warren, you're up next. What's up, Warren?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. My concern with not having the NFL in particular would be the financial impact in this country. I can't think of maybe a single industry that generates more money nationwide than the NFL through, you know, the gate and, you know, bars and restaurants. And if there's no NFL, I think there's a single best way to tank our entire economy. And I just think I don't have the answer. I don't know how they're going to do it. They have to figure this out.
Look, figuring it out is one thing, Warren, and thanks for the call, man. Sure. I would hope they can figure it out. I don't know, you know, I'm not an economist. I don't know, you know, the inner workings of the ripple down effect and whatnot. Like I said before, though, the NFL might be the single most popular thing in this country. And if there is no NFL season, there will be ramifications to that. That's for sure. You know, speaking from the industry in which I'm working right now, it has been ravaged by this thing. Advertising dollars have dried up. No football season. What do you think that means? That's probably the biggest driver there is in the entire business. And as you mentioned, bars, restaurants, so many different things. Stadium workers, personnel. I mean, I don't even know how many of those people are going to be there anyway without fans. I mean, the NFL still hasn't made the announcement on fans. It's tough to even think about sometimes. And how, like, imagine this before, right? I mean, if you had told us, if you had told us right after J-Lo and Shakira, right, that this would be a possibility, people would look at you crazy. So I don't want to sit here and say I know anything for sure, because I don't. And in a business where, I mean, I get paid for my opinion. I get paid for my perspective. And I'm giving you more of the latter right now than anything else. Because this is not something I feel I need to have a take on. I hope that sports resume. I hope that they can do so safely. I believe that we need to live our lives in some way, shape, or form against this thing because it's not going away. It's now a part of them. But where is that line? What is the threshold? What is appropriate to continue versus what is not? I don't have the answers for you. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. How about John in Dallas? John, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, good morning, Robin. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, you know, and I was just listening, and it made me wonder, what is ESPN doing with their employees that they're bringing, or not ESPN, Disney, bringing in and out of the bubble? Are they being tested? Or are they bringing the virus with them?
That's the biggest question. They're getting temperature checks. I know that. But I don't think they are, as of now, subject to the daily testing that the NBA players will be. And I think that's been one of the biggest red flags that people have raised, is if the Disney employees can come in and out. You know, what's the, you know, where's the risk there?
And I know I'm not a doctor and you're not either, but temperature checks aren't going to cut it, because my kids just graduated. They're going through the virus right now. They're all catching it. So I just think it's a dangerous time to try to push this through right now.
I mean, it is, but here's what I would say to that. And are you still there?
Yes, I am.
What is your answer to this? And this is a legitimate question. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Okay.
It is a dangerous time to try and push through. And like you said, you have people in your life going through it. Why are the players, at least when it comes to the NBA, why are the players any safer where they are now or where they would be than they would be at the Disney complex? Because I can't imagine, even if there are some issues that aren't perfect, I can't imagine there will be many places safer than the site that the NBA has set up.
Oh, totally agree. I mean, that is the safest. It's just somehow they got to control that bubble, and the people that are coming in and out, they've got to do more than just temperature check.
And, you know, I'm sure they have time for that to evolve, and thanks for the call. We'll see. But, you know, I guess benefit of the doubt is something that's earned, and I feel like the NBA in many ways has earned that benefit of the doubt. And they're also the only sports league I've seen where I've seen the actual documented plan, right? I haven't seen that for the other leagues yet. Todd in Tampa Bay. Todd, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Todd?
Boss, let's get down to business here. First of all, there's no sports without any fans. The NBA can have their nonsense with no fans. Nobody wants to see. The fans make everything. The fans pay the tickets, pay the salary, pay the parking, pay the beer, pay everything. Without no fans, you got no sports. Okay,
I don't want. Well, the TV deals are bigger than the
Bucks. I'm glad the Bucks got Tom Brady. A great move.
But if we can't go to the game, I don't want to see them. And by the way, if you're going to take a knee, you're going to see all the fans leave, okay? Because we're not going to put up with that, okay? You work for us, okay? We pay the bills here. You don't want to play in the league? Hit the bricks and go to another league. You know, when the USFL sued the NFL and they were deemed a monopoly, okay, the idiot judge should have stepped in and they're not giving them $3.
But you realize, according to the latest survey data, the majority of the public is in support of kneeling, right?
No, that survey is the same survey they said Trump was going to lose in a landslide, and he kicked everybody.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with Trump. It's a completely different survey, and that just is your way of trying to respond to something I said factually with nonsense.
Is the Trump rally today where 1.5 million people will be in Tulsa to see the greatest president in American history? Get down to business.
Yeah, well, good for you, man. Have fun. All right. I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. I think I've made my feelings pretty clear. I think you can hear by my tone what I feel. And let's just say, here's how you know the kneeling thing. How many calls have I taken on kneeling? Did I even use it as a topic? The fact that, you know, he says he won't be watching if people kneel, whether that's Trump or that guy that just called on the phone. I promise you that won't be the case. Look, the NFL, whatever you want to say about why the NFL made the statement they did, part of it is they can read the room now. They saw the reaction that Drew Brees got. And the NFL is so popular, anybody who says that it's going to affect their bottom line or ratings either way, it's just not the truth. We've seen people are going to watch the NFL regardless. And people don't even want to have that debate anymore because it's a pointless debate. Everybody understands by now. If you don't understand by now, you're being deliberately dense. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. This is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.